A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father, but his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There's no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all the neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord. I share these reflections for the birth of John the Baptist from a monastery of contemplative nuns in Spain, just one of the many monasteries of our nuns around the world that my present ministry takes me to. It's always curious that one of the questions that people frequently ask me is, how can the Dominicans, an order of preachers, have contemplative cloistered nuns in it? Isn't that a contradiction? Cloistered nuns in a preaching order? Well, I actually think it isn't a contradiction, but in order to answer the question, I'd really like to look at today's liturgy and readings, because I think the question that people ask about the nuns is really a question about our lives as disciples of Jesus in general. Isaiah, the prophet, says in today's first reading, "The Lord called me from birth. From my mother's womb, God gave me my name." A mother's womb is an enclosed space of deep silence. Today's scriptures speak about our being formed and called in God's mysterious plan while we are still immersed in this deep maternal silence. The mystics would go even further and say that this period of silent gestation happens in the very womb of God. The psalmist sings today, "Truly you have formed my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. I give you thanks that I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works." John the Baptist, the great fiery prophet and preacher, was prepared for his preaching mission not only in the silence of his mother's womb. That silence was made even more radical when his father, Zechariah, was struck mute during the 9 months of pregnancy. Now, that's a lot of silence. Dare we say that the words of a real prophet can only be born from a place of silent gestation? Silent fecundity. John himself goes into the arid silence of the desert to listen to God, to discover the Word deep within, his final step in the preparation for his prophetic ministry. In a very famous sermon of St. Augustine, we hear these words, "John is the voice, but Christ is the Word." John is the voice that lasts for a time. Christ is the Word who lives forever. Take away the Word, and what is the voice? Only a meaningless sound. The voice without the Word strikes the ear, but does not build up the heart. Could we not say that John is also the silence? And Christ is the Word. That John the Baptist discovers his prophetic voice in the silence of the desert. Isn't it true that many of the great prophets, Etty Hillesum, the Jewish woman, mystic and prophet, who was killed in a concentration camp during the Second World War, or Martin Luther King, imprisoned in the cell in Birmingham where he wrote one of his famous letters, couldn't we say that they are good examples of people who found and clarified their prophetic voices in the desert of prison cells, in the silence of a prison cell? Take away the maternal silence where God's word takes root in us, and what good news will we be able to speak? Even St. Paul says that we can say lots of fancy words, but if those words are not rooted in the love of God, they're not much more than a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. Maybe a lot of our God talk these days is just noise sprinkled with holy water. And add to that all the political and commercial clamor that bombards us every day. We live in a pretty noisy world. Our Dominican brother Timothy Radcliffe said in a talk several years ago, only if we learn to remain in the silence of God will we be able to discover the right words, words that are neither arrogant nor empty, words that are both true and humble. Only if the center of our lives is the silence of God Himself will we know when language ends and when silence begins, when to proclaim and when to be silent. Now back to the question concerning the contemplative Dominican nuns that I visit around the world. How can an order of preachers have contemplative cloistered nuns in it? Isn't that a contradiction? My answer is, how can we not have contemplative nuns in our order? As I said earlier, a mother's womb is an enclosed space of deep silence. We need those who care for the silence, who tend it like a fire that brings us life. What will happen when the silence disappears? What will we preach then? How will we learn to say, I love you, I forgive you, peace be with you, if there's no more silence? Maybe it's time for all of us to take a stroll through the desert, or a Sabbath rest from all the busyness, so that we can learn again to speak the language of God.